Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
5 o'clock here in the city of Boston and lots of other cities on the East Coast and in the Eastern time zone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even the Capital Region, former home of Dan Ball, where he loves to spend his weekends on occasion. I do, before we need to get to the drive, need to fight back. Yes, text line, you wouldn't take Jaylen Waddle, Hart? Come on, bro. I would take Jaylen Waddle, but do we believe Jaylen Waddle is a true number one receiver that would, you know, like align with Drake May and be his Justin Jefferson for the next 5 years?
On the Patriots?
No.
On the currently constructed Patriots?
No. Would he be truly a number one receiver, or would he be your number one receiver?
Yours.
Yeah. Like, there's other teams.
I think he's a really good number two.
I loved him.
I put him and T. Higgins in a similar category.
Yeah.
Good point. That's
T's
exactly
a two.
What I was thinking.
T is a two. I think T I would take over Waddle. I loved Waddle coming into the league. He has not been as good as I expected. Now, there is some room for what if he wasn't with Tyreek Hill, and what if he was treated like a number one, and there was sort of a ratio of he gets his 8 targets every game or 10 targets every game. Would he have a chance to make more big plays? I do think there's a possibility that there's a world where Jaylen Waddle is better without Tyreek Hill. And I would take him, but I don't think he's a slam dunk in the way that Chase, Jefferson, mm-hmm. Neighbors. Like, you can go, there's, what, 15 to 18 teams where their number one wide receiver would blow yours out of the water and you would love to have him. Waddle, I'm not so sure at this point in his career. I'm not so sure at all. But anyway, it's 5 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. It means it's time for the drive.
This is the drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So very early in the show today on a Patriots Monday here in our beautiful studios in Brighton, powered by Verizon. We spoke with Drake May, coming off a near-perfect game, the most efficient game of his career, the best game of his young career here, and he joined us as he does each and every Patriots Monday. They had Victory Monday. He was off, so he was on the phone. But here's our conversation with Drake May to kick things off today on a Patriots Monday. All right, as I said, we're going to go right to the phone lines. Joining us now is Drake May, the quarterback of the New England Patriots on a Patriots Monday, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Mr. May, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty well. How about y'all?
We are doing great. We enjoyed a very entertaining and, in the end, successful football game yesterday, and I want to start off, not at the end, but at the beginning. I know you guys talked about wanting to start fast all week, and you went out there and you did that. You looked very comfortable, decisive, efficient, and I was wondering, was that just, you know, the byproduct of things started rolling early? Was it the investment in starting fast? You know, why'd you look so good and seemingly feel so good early in that game?
Yeah, I think it's kind of what I said, okay, you kind of get what you emphasize when you kind of harp on all week and you try to you're really put focus into something and just trying to find completions, get the running game going, and how do you feel, you know, play actions and kind of we're trying to just create positive plays and just kept on, you know, moving the ball and was proud of the guys for starting fast, and I think that's something that we need to try to do every week.
Yeah, Drake, really seemed like there was great energy out there from yourself and from the team, and Andy and I were calling it a very efficient performance for you. 19 of 23, 230 yards, 3 total touchdowns, 2 in the air, 1 on the ground. And it's funny, it's half as many pass attempts as last week when you attempted 46. So less in the end ended up being more. Was efficiency on offense a point of emphasis for you guys this past week?
Yeah, I think it's a point of emphasis every week to be try to be efficient on offense. You know, we're going to try to stay in third and manageable. You know, try to be good on first down. I think we still got some, you know, we had some penalty issues that we need to clean up. We had some kind of longer yardage, kind of fighting long first and second down that we had to clean up. But you know, I think overall, I'm proud of the guys, the way they fought adversity. And you know, I thought we had a pretty strong first half and need to maybe finish one more, you know, down in the red zone. But really, other than that, just proud of those guys for, you know, also kind of harping on, you know, scoring touchdowns in the red zone.
Drake, how important was it to succeed in terms of balance early on? I think it was like 7 runs, 7 passes in the first quarter, and it just kept going that way. It seemed like not only were you clicking, but Josh was kind of dialing up productive plays both on the ground and through the air.
Yeah, you know, it all starts with running the football. You know, those guys did do a great job in the run game, and it's just one of those things when you start to run it, it opens up kind of, you know, the passing game and the play-action game. So the more they got to respect the run, the, you know, the less that, you know, they can handle the pass. So I think it's always an emphasis for us to try to get the run game going early and able to play off that. And I think those guys, you know, Coach was kind of in the rhythm.
So, Drake, the second half saw its share of haymakers and game-changing plays back and forth. It was a wild ride, especially in the fourth quarter. But if you can, walk us through the 56-yard completion to Ramondre. I thought it was the play of the game. Was he the primary read on that play, and what did you see?
Yeah, just yeah, Mondre making a play. I think he you know, gave the backer a good little move and had him up the sideline. So, yeah, just trying to you know, give him a ball he could catch. I thought I almost overthrew it at one point. Just glad he, you know, he made a great catch and, you know, finished it off with a, you know, even better run. So I think, yeah, just making a play in crunch time. You know, we're down in the game, you know, big third down to kind of, you know, it's loud in there on the silent count. You know, it's a big third down to kind of, you know, really change the momentum of the game. And I think, you know, just props to our guys of making a play and handling it down there is the best thing about it. We finished the touchdown in the red zone. So that was yeah, that was a huge play for sure.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. Drake, I know there was a lot of just noise from people like us, reporters, podcasters, everybody last week criticizing the offense, wondering if there was too much on your plate. And I know you've used the word proud of the team, but it's got to feel good to go on the road to Miami, a place that's been very difficult for the Patriots to play over the years, in the heat, division foe, and really show the resiliency to not only win the game, but kind of, I guess, shut up idiots like us on the radio. That has to feel good.
Oh, shoot. You know, that's, you know, we're not worried about that. It's part of, you know, playing in this league. There's a bunch of eyes, you know, on every team and every offense around the league when, you know, we didn't play up to the standard. So I'm just glad to get in the win column. And I think it took everybody. It literally took everybody yesterday, special teams, offense, defense, coaching. So it was cool to come out with the win.
Now, it seemed like earlier in the game, get the touchdown to Mac Hollins, Kayshon Booty with a dime that you threw into the corner and made another incredible catch. But they all end up only having one catch on the day. Were they not heavily favored into the game plan, or did Miami try to make a concerted effort to take away some of your perceived top targets?
Yeah, I think that's just sometimes how the ball bounces. I think, you know, those guys, you know, still, you know, blocked hard in the run game. We had some tight ends. We had some running backs out of the backfield. We had some screens. We kind of, you know, one of those games where we, you know, really dropped back passing and just kind of letting their edge rushers kind of eat on the edge. So I think it was one of those things where we were trying to get the ball out quick. And I think, you know, more and more down the road, you could see games, you know, where they have bigger games. But at the same time, we're just trying to spread it out, spread the ball out. We got a lot of guys that can make plays. So I think everybody's just kind of, you know, finding their role and playing in it.
We mentioned the balance of the offense. The passing game was going, the running game's going. That means the offensive line is doing their jobs in both ways. You got a couple rookies up there on the left side, 4 new starters. I have to think you're very appreciative of not only the effort they're putting in, but, you know, the performance they're putting in a couple weeks into the season.
Yeah, those guys are playing their butts off. You know, credit to those guys. And, two, it's a good feeling running out there with them every week. And I know they're, you know, playing hard and wanting to run the football and wanting to win. So, you know, they you know, I think, you know, us six really drive, you know, the offense. And I think it's continuing to show there and get better and better, you know, as we go on, the more they play with each other.
All right. So how happy were you to play such a large part in Mike Vrabel's first win as coach of the Patriots? Saw him in the tunnel afterwards, high-fiving everybody. He was handing out game balls, you know, like they were Christmas bonuses afterwards. How happy was he, and how happy were you to help make him that happy?
Yeah, it's an awesome feeling. I think it's, you know, we wanted to get the one last week, but, you know, it's a good feeling to get one on the road, you know, a division opponent. You know, it means a lot, you know, such a, you know, emotional game and back and forth. So I can only imagine, you know, I could imagine I was in the locker room. So, you know, it was a, you know, awesome feeling, just, You know, good to get a win. Like I said, it took everybody, and you know, it was cool to see everybody kind of respond. And I appreciate, you know, what coaches kind of brought this year and brought to you know, kind of this organization as of yet.
Speaking of your coach, what'd you think of his speed? I'm sure you've seen the video of him running the sideline on Gibson's kickoff return. Stephon Diggs said he thought coach looked a little slow. What was your assessment of his speed there?
Yeah, I'm more impressed. You know, pull a hammy or something. You know, it's hot down there. It started cramping. So, no, I thought it's pretty cool. You know, I was watching it from a different angle, and kind of saw him. You know, once he caught the edge around there, I knew he was gone. So, you know, what a play, and that was funny to see coach running down.
So, obviously, you're only as good as your most recent results in the NFL. Big one next week. But more importantly, how do you take the momentum of an effort like this where you guys got up early, took a few punches, came back and found a way to win? How do you take the momentum of this big road win in a tough place for you guys to pull it off and build off it offensively and as a team overall?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the big things is you still got to learn from it. Learn from things you could improve on. Learn from, you know, mistakes, or learn from you know, penalties, and learn from situational football, and you know, help that, you know, take that and help, and let it help us down the road. I think that's a big thing, and also learning how to, you know, come off a win and get back to work and practice this week, and know that it's, you know, it's any given week of the NFL, and they're trying to, you know, win the next week and move on. You know, as I say, the 24-hour rule, so try to get, you know, get rid of a big win and try to get another one.
Drake May here on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday. A question hit me, kind of a crossover question from baseball. A lot of times when you hear about starting pitchers, you hear, oh, sometimes in the bullpen they realize they don't have their best stuff, but they got to go out there and find a way to get guys out and put together a solid performance. Is there a similarity with quarterbacks? Like, are there days when you warm up and you're like, oh, I got it today. The accuracy's here. I just feel it. And likewise, other days where sometimes you know, okay, maybe not my best day throwing the football, but I got to find a way to be good enough.
You know, I think it's more of a, there's a kind of a standard kind of way you feel when throwing the football, and there's kind of a, you know, feeling with how the footballs feel and how your arm's feeling, where you can kind of get a groove, okay, yeah, this is one of those days. So, you know, I wouldn't say you ever feel like horrendous throwing the football. Hopefully I won't, you know, before a game, but, you know, sometimes when, you know, when the wind gets going real bad, or, you know, it was some tough weather, but, you know, really other than that, I think sometimes I just feel like, hey, it's a good day to, you know, wake up and throw the football. So,
all right, so up next, big one. You guys are 1-1, week 3 back home at Gillette, and it's the Steelers coming to town off of a particularly frustrating, if not embarrassing, loss for them in front of their home crowd. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think a hot mic caught you after the Jets game, week 3, 2024, looking for Aaron Rodgers to meet him or something, calling him the GOAT. So any extra excitement or motivation for you looking forward to maybe getting your first home win as a starter and facing off against a childhood idol?
Yeah, he was one of my favorite players growing up. You know, so impressive how he, you know, throwing the football in his days and still throwing it to this day. So, yeah, it'd be pretty cool to, it'll be our second matchup. You know, one from last year. So try to get a big, you know, big one at home and get a chance to play against, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback is pretty cool in its own.
Clearly, a win is a great way to unify a locker room and a football team. I'm wondering, because we tend to generalize and look at your team as offense, defense, special teams, three units. What is the vibe in your locker room a couple weeks into the season? Like, how do you get along with the defensive players? What's the competition level on the practice field? Give us a little sampling of sort of the behind-the-scenes vibes of the Patriots locker room.
Yeah, I think the guys are just, you know, kind of feeding off each other. I think guys are energized. I think guys are, you know, cheering guys on. I think we got a, you know, real kind of locker room that enjoys being around each other. That's the biggest thing. You know, we come into the facility, you know, looking forward to, you know, seeing each other and competing. And I think kind of building off from training camp. You know, you're coming here and working against each other, and defense may have one day, we may have got them the next day. So I think guys are, you know, guys are kind of, you know, buying into it and just trying to, you know, bring it every week. And I think that's one of those things where, you know, you learn throughout the season that you bring it every week, and you're going to battle injuries, and you're going to, you know, just use each other and use your teammates to, you know, keep going and play football.
Time now for the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This one comes from Mike in Medford, and it says, understanding how much time goes into your job during the season, What do you do, Drake May, to get away or wind down, even if it's just for a little while during the work week?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy, you know, watching college football. I enjoy watching, you know, other NFL games, you know, Thursday night and the Monday night ones tonight. Just not even from a quarterback, you know, standpoint. It's hard not to watch it from a quarterback standpoint, but, you know, sit down and try to be a fan for a little bit. And other than that, just, you know, go out there with some teammates and, you know, just kind of, you know, relax and get the body back going for the next week.
Do you still have as much time to do that as a married man, or are there some more loyalties or responsibilities?
No, she loves football. She loves watching, you know, football as well, thankfully. So, yeah, I got a good one.
Okay, so you don't have to watch, like, the Lifetime channel or something when you're home on a Monday night kicking back?
Yeah, exactly. She knows. Yeah, Monday Night Football will be on. She knows, and she wants it, too.
All right, Drake, appreciate you joining us after the first win of the season. Good luck this week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
That was Patriots quarterback Drake May a little bit earlier today on a Patriots Monday.
Kid.
I like him, too, but we do have a question that's been piling in on the text line that we are actually going to have next week for him, and I think it'll be the listener quarterback question of the week because it has been coming in with regularity, Fitzy. Why does he no longer end the interview with Go Pats?
I don't think he's doing that's it. He wants to be traded. That's it.
100%.
He's not even rooting for the Patriots. How can he lead the Patriots if he's not rooting for the Patriots?
Drake May and the Patriots at odds, 617.
That's the verbal.
You hated that fake take so much you couldn't even get through it.
Speaking of 617-779-7937, let's go back to the phone lines. Jesse in New Bedford. Jesse has a reaction, I think, to Drake May interview. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, basically... I have a bone to pick with the media. I know it's your job and all that.
Yep.
But, and I know it's a week to week thing and it's a game to game, but
day to day.
We get so hyped up and redrafting and all that where just a week later, McCarthy and Penix, where everybody was picking the over Drake May last week. Oh, he had his moment. They didn't look great at all. And now, McCarthy's hurt. And now that everybody that loved Jaden Daniels hasn't played good this year, he's hurt. We got another RG3 going. I guarantee you he's going to get hurt, and his career is going to be over because everybody, the knock on him was he was too skinny. He couldn't hold up to the NFL. And
so, Jesse, how long you want us to wait to comment on quarterbacks?
No, I understand that, but it's just like, let's redraft, and Drake May hasn't had his moment and all that, and we forget, I think we comment in a vacuum where we forget that it's a team sport, and last time I checked, he doesn't have Justin Jefferson to throw to, or Bijan Robinson to throw to, and Drake London. So Drake May, what he's doing with the cast of characters he has, to me, is more incredible. And just to end it on this, look what Mac Jones, I know it's only one game, and I was a big Mac Jones guy, and this media hammered this kid into oblivion to the point where he had to go across the country to find hope. And look what he's doing with a coach that has a clue.
All right, thanks for the call, Jesse.
Jesse!
So Jesse, one game of Mac Jones you're reacting to? That seems weird. Seems like you're overreacting to a singular game for Mac Jones out in San Francisco. Yes, Dan Ball.
How many games has J.J. McCarthy played, Andy?
He has played two.
Oh, perfect. Time to judge.
And he has one good quarter and seven bad quarters and now a bad ankle that's going to cost him multiple games. It is unfair. I mean, Jesse had sort of a long-winded landing there, but it is unfair. It's kind of ridiculous how quickly we assess that a quarterback has it, doesn't have it, is benched. Bryce Young benched in the second game of his second season. Mm-hmm. It isn't fair, but I would also say it is what it is. It's just the way of the NFL these days. Like, that's the reality.
Well, I mean, it does also beg the question, how much of what goes on with these young quarterbacks is they are a product of their environment versus they are responsible for their own trappings, misgivings, or successes.
Yeah, I mean, there's some truth to all of it. There's little truths in everything. The Tom Brady thing. Oh, you know, the guys are developed mentally. No, they're developed physically, but not mentally. Or everybody wants to point to, hey, you guys ever noticed that all the good quarterbacks in the NFL played behind somebody for a couple years? Tom Brady,
Aaron Rodgers, Justin Love, Patrick Mahomes. And it's like, well, yeah, there's some truth to that. But does that mean, would Patrick Mahomes have flamed out if he had started as a rookie? I doubt it. I think Patrick Mahomes is really good. But I'll never know, because it did play out the way it played out. And he got to play a year behind Alex Smith. Or would Patrick Mahomes not be good if he wasn't with Andy Reid, who I think is the best offensive coach of this generation? Would he have failed or had much less success with somebody else? There's a billion factors that go into success and failure for the quarterback position. Time, experience, coaching, surrounding cast, O-line, media, criticism, everything. There's a million things. But in the end, all we can do is assess what we see, just like Jesse did. Because Jesse assessed that Mac Jones is going to have success in San Francisco based off of one game. One game in which he threw three touchdown passes, it means.
Against the worst team in the NFL, I think.
He played the Dolphins too?
Yeah. Actually, clubhouse leader, who's the worst team in the NFL right now, Saints or Dolphins?
Saints. I still think the Saints are putrid.
Same.
Awful, awful. But no, Jesse, appreciate the call, appreciate the passion, and it's an ongoing debate how we deal with young quarterbacks. 617-779-7937. Also an ongoing debate is whether we are capable of picking football games, because 2 weeks in here to the Pick Six segment on Fridays, which is then reviewed on a Patriots Monday, we're not great at this. Good thing we're not surviving off these bets. And I will say these bets are starting to cost me some funds in my various betting apps, because I actually put our money where our mouths are, and it's not working out for me. Yes, Dan Ball.
But much like Pop Douglas, we are improving infinitely.
We are improving.
Again, it's like the second or third fake take Dan has not been able to make it through.
Sooner or later, maybe we'll win more than half the games in our little parlay.
That's
up next, a recap of the Pick Six segment. We're getting better. We're not there yet, but we're getting better, just like Pop Douglas. 617-779-7937. But first, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, let's go back to the phone lines before we get to the Pick Six recap. Let's go to Tim, who is in Massachusetts. Aren't we all, Tim? What's up, Tim?
Not much, gentlemen. Hey, I just want to say I'm happy for the Pats winning, and Drake May had a great game. The only thing I don't want to see is Drake May running around like a rabid fox is chasing him. I want to see him be able to sit back, throw the ball. If it's not there, go ahead and then run it, but try and throw it before he runs.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim. Appreciate the what Dan Ball said in my ear was a Ted-ism. He doesn't want Drake May looking like a rabid fox is chasing him. I actually didn't think that was an issue in this game. We talked about week one, Fitzy. He was overly cautious, looked like he was sliding a little early. I thought he was a little bit more comfortable and aggressive. Did he get hit?
On any of the slides?
No, this week. I'm talking about, did he take any big hits? I didn't see anything
big
that
hits,
was crazy.
No, he was sacked three times.
No. Sacks are not his fault. I'm talking about running. Tim was questioning his ability to run the football, running around like he was being chased by a rabid coyote. He was fine. He ran smart. He ran out of bounds. He ran into the end zone. They're not allowed to hit you once you get in the end zone, so he got into the end zone. That was great. I did not think he was dangerous at all in this game.
One time he did. You know what it was, Andy? It was he did have that one rushing touchdown to the right pylon. There was one time where he didn't see anyone open, and after 3-4 seconds, he got
pushed and slid on the moist turf.
But it was not like that's the closest I can think to that Drake May was like roughed up.
I mean, just because it looks like a slip and slide on the moist turf doesn't mean that it was dangerous for your quarterback, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So Tim, I agree he needs to stay healthy. I agree he needs to stay out of harm's way. I just didn't think he was at harm's way in this game. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Let's go to David in the car.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So, I'm happy a good win. I got one thing to pick on Drake May. The fact that he referred to Aaron Rodgers as the GOAT. You cannot be in the Patriots and put Aaron Rodgers' name out there as a GOAT in front of Tom Brady.
Thanks for the call, David.
Fire him.
You can, and he did, because his GOAT doesn't have to be your GOAT, even though your answer is the actual GOAT. I agree with you, but he's allowed to have an opinion. Like, I don't know, why are we going to kick him out of the team?
You said childhood idol when we revisited it today. I remembered that last year, that obviously it stirred up a little bit of an online hornet's nest for everybody when it happened last year. I just thought I'd revisit it.
Like, there are kids now that probably grow up thinking Aaron Judge is great. Enjoy watching Aaron Judge, right? In New England. Oh, my God. What if one of them grows up to be a Red Sox? Is he allowed to say that he idolized Aaron Judge when he was in his formative years?
No.
We all have heroes in our formative years, and we don't get to pick, right? It's kind of like love in a weird way. The player you latch on to, you don't really get a say in. It just kind of happens.
Oh, Andy, you love who you love.
Right. And if I love like Bo Belichick Jackson, my favorite players growing up were Bo Jackson. Makes a lot of sense, right? Greatest ever. You know who my favorite Red Sox was? Marty frickin' Barrett. And everybody's like, Marty Barrett? That guy kind of wasn't really all that good. Like, you fall in love with who you fall in love with. Just because the guy's not a Hall of Famer doesn't mean you don't, nah.
I think I heard that guy on Jones and Keefe, random baseball player of the day, not too long ago.
Oh, Marty Barrett is better than a random baseball player of the day.
And Stiz, his most inglorious stat is that he struck out to end the 1986 World Series off Jesse Orosco.
Actually, wasn't there some talk he might win the playoff MVP or something?
Yeah, at one point he was up for MVP of the 86 World Series.
I was a second baseman. I was like,
and
a little
that's when chubby Nick Stevens broke out into hysterics, and then his mom let him skip the next day of school.
Yes, Dan Ball.
I thought you were a third baseman.
Oh, in high school?
Yeah.
Until they moved me to second base.
Why? What happened?
Bad throws.
Ah, gotcha.
I couldn't make the throw from third base, so they said, hey, go. Oh, no, I didn't knob-lock it. I don't even know what you would call it. What's it called when you throw it into the stands?
Knob-locking it.
Just absolutely missiling it into the stands.
You Anthony Volpe it, apparently.
Yeah. Cam Newton did. He famously did that at the scouting combine. Maybe Jamarcus Russell did. Those were more my style of throws. But Dan Ball, time for you to take over. It is time for the recap of the pick six, which hasn't opened.
A pick six.
He's picked. Touchdown on a pick six.
Jones with the pick six.
And he flips the game.
Let's go.
Let's go indeed, Tom Brady. Time to recap how we did on this week's picks here on the pick six. It says we can begin right at the beginning with our guy, Andy Hart. Andy Hart made the pick against the game of the week easily that we were looking forward to. The Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's start with number one.
Shoving his way in. He's in. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
The brotherly shove, the tush push, was once again at the center of the headlines, but the Eagles were able to win and cover 20-17. The Chiefs are 0-2 for the first time since 2014 and the first time in the Mahomes era. The last six times they started 0-2. Andy Hart, they missed the playoffs, so you were correct this week.
I also have to thank Travis Kelce because there was a touchdown about to be scored. He Zach Sudfelded it. That's the closest thing I can remember. Zach Sudfeld did that to Tom Brady in Buffalo.
It.
And I that is just unbelievable to me that Travis Kelce does that. Also need to thank Patrick Mahomes for missing Tyquan Thornton uncovered deep down the left sideline in the comeback attempt. He overthrew him by like 7 yards. I believe Tom Brady said in the moment, oh, that makes you sick to see that, or something to that effect. He was so stunned that Patrick Mahomes missed Thornton.
Yeah, that was a tough one. And then the brotherly shove just got the best of them time and time again.
Well, they were cheating. They were false starting. I agree with the Chiefs on that. There were times they were false starting and they didn't call it.
Didn't Chris Jones give some words across the line and then someone told him to STFU because they lost the game?
Oh, he was talking crap to Jalen Hurts. He's like, you only had 100 yards. He's like, we won the game, STFU. And I'm on Jalen Hurts' side. When you win the game, the scoreboard tells the other team to shut the hell up. Also, hot mic. The former NFL head of officiating, Dean Blandino, was heard saying at the end of one of his analysis, I'm done with the tush-push play and trying to officiate it. Meow. It's still a play, so figure it out.
It is for the time being, but a lot of conjecture this morning was, it's a play for one more year.
Okay, don't bring it up when Ted's here.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised, Dan Ball, if it does get bounced from the NFL by next year.
I would completely agree. Okay, let's move on. We'll split this up into three and three. We can finish these in odds and ends because we're running a little bit late. Let's go to number two, Stiz.
Young has those two young wide receivers, McMillan, but they give chase. Football is loose. What's the call here? Is that a live football? Touchdown!
Cardinals defense, great once again to start the game, forcing a fumble and scoring. It was the Cardinals 27, the Panthers 22. So Fitzy had the right team, but the Cardinals, after covering for us by half a point, missed by a point and a half. Cardinals are now 2-0 despite their wide receiver core, excluding Marvin Harrison Jr., having a grand total of 29 receiving yards.
Wow, Pop Douglas could play there.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's actually stunningly accurate. What happened? I thought that felt like such a bad beat. The Cardinals were up by more than the point spread all game, and then I checked around 7:30 and saw it didn't cover. Son of a blank.
It's gambling.
Just the way it goes, and we move our way on to Ted Johnson's pick number three.
Goal, and Algier walks into the end zone for the game's first touchdown.
Ted was the only one to pick the underdog, and he might have been the most right out of everybody this week. Falcons 22, Vikings 6, covering the Falcons plus 3.5-point spread. J.J. McCarthy's passer rating in this one was 37.5. Meanwhile, J.J. McCarthy's passer rating, if he just spiked the ball into the ground on every pass attempt, would have been 39.6. You can't spell interception without it, Andy Hart.
And that was the Parker Romo show. Why can't we get kickers like that?
Five. Count them. Five made field goals. And he got the walk-off interview on Sniff with the Sunday Night Football crew.
He
Unreal.
Did. And introduced himself to one of his teammates live on national television, who he didn't know he was standing next to.
Hi, Parker. Nice to meet you. So we'll leave it there. We'll get to our Behind the Glass boys on the other side, Andy Hart, of this commercial break.
Here's a teaser, though. It doesn't end with us making money when we finish up the parlay. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons, Odds and Ends.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Now that halftime is over, we get back to the third and fourth quarter here on the Pick 6 recap on WEEI Afternoons, and we throw it back down to the field for Dan Ball.
All right, thank you, Andy. We're 2-1 so far, so Andy Hart, Ted Johnson correct in their picks. Let's move on to pick number four.
Third and five now for the LA offense. Stafford tosses, end zone, touchdown! Devontae Adams! Stafford hits him in stride.
It was the Rams 33, the Titans 19, covering my pick of Rams minus 5.5 in the game. Wide receiver Devontae Adams passed Michael Irvin in career receiving yards and moved into 32nd in NFL history. Not that high up on the list, but still, Devontae Adams' first touchdown as a member of the Rams, and the Rams win and cover.
As a fantasy holder of Devontae Adams, hopefully the first of many. Fitzy, I know you and Stiz are battling this week in fantasy. Before you take your victory lap, I just want you to know you're beating a person who in week two asked, hey, how do you score points in this fantasy thing?
So, I get the general idea.
Andy, sometimes you're in a way that it feels good to dunk on a child in the driveway.
Okay, well, enjoy that dunk.
I don't know how you do it, but that's the questions we're asking back here behind the glass. On to number five we go.
Oh, bad bounce goes through the hands of Caleb Johnson. He may have touched that ball. That would be a live ball. Let's see what the ruling is here. It is a touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Yeah, bizarre one out in Pittsburgh this weekend. Under the NFL's new kickoff rule, any ball that lands in the landing zone between the goal line and the 20-yard line and goes into the end zone must be returned or downed by the receiving team. Otherwise, it's a live ball.
Yeah, it's a live ball.
Twitter knew that. Yeah. Caleb Johnson did not. Final score, Seahawks 31, Steelers 17. Not covering Stiz's Steelers minus 3.
Awesome. I was feeling really good in the beginning. I'll tell you that. They were rolling.
Yeah, I know. Fitzy knew that too, as we learned.
Yep,
on the
when I proclaimed
show.
The Steelers winners on the postgame show, and then later had to walk that one back. I mayo-fied that one something wicked yesterday. Stiz, you're not alone.
That's an embarrassing play for that player. It's also just an embarrassing play for the coaches, the organization. Like, how you spend all this time coaching,
That didn't come up at any point with any of your returners. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's on your special teams coordinator, wouldn't it be?
Yep.
Don't you have to review those kind of things?
Jeremy Springer wouldn't let that happen.
Never in a million years. Last one, Stiz.
Aubrey, does he have enough? On the way, it is! Good! That's why they trusted him! Wow. Never a doubt! 46 to try and win this thriller. Aubrey got it into overtime and now wins it! What a ball game! Cowboys in OT!
Joe Davis kind of nailed it. This moved over to my main screen after the Patriots game wrapped up. There was no doubt that Brandon Aubrey was making that game-tying field goal. He ends up making the tying game and the winner. It was Cowboys 40, Giants 37 in overtime. Most consecutive wins by a starting quarterback versus an opponent since 1980. Dak Prescott now has the record 14 wins against the Giants from 2017 to present, jumping over Tom Brady against the Buffalo Bills.
Wow. Wow, they got to do one of those. Update the Wikipedia page for who owns the Giants. It's actually Dak Prescott.
That was a Fitzy voice.
Oh, that was great.
Fitzy doing Casey Kasem.
Yeah, spitting image.
I'm trying to figure out which voice is that. That sounds more like your trolling people voice than it does old-time announcer voice.
Might be trolling Fitzy. Yeah. Who knows?
So we went 3 for 3 on the day. We did not hit our parlay with the odds of plus 4472. Also, three of us on the show, not including myself or Andy, ended up picking the dollar. Three of us picked the Patriots. Three picked the Dolphins. So we split there as well.
Yeah. So we're not great. But we're going to get better. That's what it's early in the season.
We got a good baseball team.
Work to improve. That's what practice is for. Like Marcus Jones told us, you got to go back and learn to tackle. We got to learn to pick. It's all the same. Coming up now here, or in the midst of Odds and Ends on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations, also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Fitzy, did you know we're leading into football tonight? It's Monday Night Football, and there is a doubleheader. I believe this is one of the last doubleheaders because they're eliminating these moving forward. These are no longer going to be a thing.
Well, what? Excuse me?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I have said before, way back to even during COVID, I remember there was a rescheduled Ravens at Steelers game on a Wednesday at 5 o'clock, and I was like, NFL football this afternoon and or evening? Please, yes, and thank you. I love these ridiculous doubleheaders. Why would they do away with these?
I believe in one of the latest, wherever the TV contracts were going, streaming something, blah. I don't know. I didn't pay it. It was business related, and I think.
I hate this earth.
Yeah, come the on. Monday night doubleheader. But you will have Monday night football here. And Dan Ball, what are the two games? What are the matchups for me?
The two games coming up tonight with coverage beginning at 6 o'clock here on WEEI. The first of which, the Buccaneers at 1-0 taking on the Houston Texans 0-1. It is Houston minus 2.5 as they are the home team this evening. Your thoughts on the first matchup?
My guy Nick Caley needs to get the offense rolling down in Houston. I don't believe they've scored a touchdown yet. You should probably start doing that if you want to upset the I guess they're favored, but I feel like the Bucs are the better team. The Bucs are the better team. Baker Mayfield is a guy. Some people think the Bucs are a Super Bowl contender. I'm not really on that bandwagon when I look at like the Packers and the Eagles and some of those top teams in the NFC. But let's go, Nick Caley.
If the guy Parker Romo took the place of or took the job of Younghoe Koo actually did his job last week, then the Buccaneers would be 0-1 on their way towards needing a win tonight against the Texans. That said, I feel like the Texans have slightly better defense than the Buccaneers, so I would look for them to squeak out the win. I will take the Texans to cover the 2.5.
Win a squeaker.
Next one, as we come up on the end here on WEEI Afternoons, Chargers at 1-0 taking on the 1-0, because they totally deserved it, Las Vegas Raiders. The Chargers are favored on the road, so the Raiders are a home dog. It's Chargers minus 3.5. Your thoughts on the late one that Andy's totally going to be awake for?
Yeah, I love the Chargers in this game. I know this is a grudge match. Harbaugh, Carroll, battling it out. I won't see the game because I'll be asleep, but I may put a little something-something on the game, Fitzgerald.
And I'll put a little same-same on that because I think Justin Herbert has unlocked it for this season. Your AFC West champion Chargers get it done in Vegas against the Raiders.
That's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday. I want to thank Drake May and Marcus Jones for calling in after their Week 1 victory. I would ask they maybe get better phones for future call-ins, but we'll leave that for another day. It is Monday Night Football. Got a couple games tonight. Enjoy some football. We'll be back tomorrow. It's going to be Tuesday. Ted Johnson will be here. Ted Talks galore. We'll also talk to Mark Schlereth and Brian Hoyer, I'm interested to get his take on why things went so well for Drake May down in Miami, a place that even Tom Brady struggled at times. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 2 to 6. See ya.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.